How we doing?
Good.
Good. All right. Fired up.
Aloha.
We got, it's good to be back. Good to be back. Man, and we got a lot of high school students just got back from camp too. And so it's a good Sunday. So, hey, we are continuing our sermon series in loving our cities. And how do we love our cities? And Pastor Brian and Pastor Mark did a great job leading us in these past 2 weeks. And so if God comes in and he loves our cities, and we've been talking about that, we would count, we would walk, ask, and love. So today we're talking about asking. I want us to jump into the scripture right away. If you don't have a Bible, we've got our big blues in the pews. If you don't have one, take that Bible home. That's our gift to you. And so take that. Read it, go through it. We'll have it up on the screen as well. So let's get into it. This is God's word, so let's look at it. I'll be in chapter 10, verse 46. And then I'll explain a little bit. Sorry? We're in Mark chapter 10, verse 46. We'll have it up on the screen as well. There it is. Verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with the large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of God, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and called and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Now notice this, this is where we're going to focus in on verse 51 this morning. It says, Jesus says this, he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and follow Jesus along the road. So notice this, Bartimaeus is here. He's this blind man, and he's blind, he can't see, and he's crying out because he's been hearing about Jesus. He's been hearing that Jesus has been doing all of these miracles, and so he cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And then what we see happens is that he comes, and Jesus asks him a question. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus doesn't just assume. Here's a man that's blind, but he asks him, what do you want? And Bartimaeus says, "I want to see." Now what Jesus offers him, he offers him a gift by asking him. He says, how do you want to get well? And then Bartimaeus gets an opportunity to respond. And so that's what we're going to look at today is asking. Jesus was the master of asking questions. He did it in his teaching. He did it, and you see often when his disciples or the Pharisees would question him, these religious leaders, and he would often ask them a question. He would get asked a question, he would ask another question. And Jesus always approached it in a way that was humble. He never did it in an arrogant way, what do you think? Or why? But he asked questions that got great responses. And so in order for us, next week we're going to talk about loving our community. In order to love our community, we need to ask some really good questions. And I was reading an article in Harvard Business Review this week, and they were saying, we've lost the art of asking good questions. And in the article they're writing, if we would become better at asking questions, we would have more success in business and life if we would ask questions and actually listen. And not only ask questions, but ask good questions. And so what we're going to look at this morning, Jesus asked really good questions. I would like to learn how to ask better questions. So we're going to dive into that. And really how to ask good questions, you have to take five postures to do that. And we're going to explore these five postures. And the first one, if you see your notes, you can open up a little flyer you have. We've got a little unique design there this morning. And what we're going to look at is the five postures, and so you can take notes. The first one we've got is a posture of sitting. Sitting. Now, here's what I want to explain this morning. In many ways, these postures aren't groundbreaking. In fact, they're simple. Yet, back to the simple can often be some of the most important things. Jesus summarized in the Great Commandment, he summarized all of the commandments. He says, essentially, you love God and you love people. Now, if I look at my life, I can know these things in my head. I know it's good to love God and love people, but how do I really do that? How do I love people? And so what we as Christians, as a community, we need to come together and encourage each other how to love people. We need to teach each other. And we also almost need to look in a mirror sometimes in ways that we fall short and don't love people. And so as we look at these, some of these ideas are basic, but how do we practice them? Because we can know it's good to love God, and we can know it's good to love people, but how do we do that? And it begins with asking. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody where you're having a conversation and they're asking questions, but they start to ask a lot of questions, but then you realize they've got the next question formed by the time you've already responded? Have you been a part of that? And so it's just question after question, but you feel like they might not be listening to what you're saying. So in order for us to love somebody well, you actually have to hear them for them to be understood, for them to be heard. And so that's what we're going to look at. So the first one's sitting. Let's flip over, stay in the book of Mark. We're going to go over to chapter 2, verse 15. We'll have it up on the screen as well. And it says this: while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. So do you see this? There's this theme going on with Jesus. Many are surrounding Jesus. Many are following Jesus. But then this happens, 16. When the teachers of the law, who were the Pharisees, so the hyper-religious leader, the religious leaders of the time, the Pharisees, they're here, and then they say this. They saw him eating with sinners and tax collectors. They asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Verse 17, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus sits down, he's sitting down with a community of people that the Pharisees, the religious people would look at and just say, no, not that group. And so you notice it, and the Pharisees, they're questioning Jesus' disciples. They ask him, why are you with that group? But what, look at Jesus' posture. He's sitting down, and why is he sitting? Because when you're sitting with somebody, you're not standing above them. Jesus came humbly to this earth. He came in the form, God of the universe came in the form of a man. He humbled himself, the scriptures say. He came to this earth, and what did he do? He didn't tower over them. Many of us know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. But then 17, we often forget about that Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. And in fact, we know that Jesus came to set the world free. And so this posture of sitting is not Jesus standing, towering over the sinners and tax collectors. He's with them. He sits with them. He listens to them. He hears their story. He shares a meal with them. And this causes the religious people to be uncomfortable. Yet in Jesus' posture, I think teaches us something, that we need to be with anyone and we need to be with everyone. And that's what he calls us to do. And so as we look at this posture of sitting, what we also need to do is the second posture of listening. We need to listen. James, let's flip over to James. The book of James has a great word on this. It says this. James 1:19. I like this, as James is writing. He says, my dear brothers and sisters, he says, take note of this. So if you're taking notes, let's do what James says. Take note of this. He says, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. When you're sitting down with somebody, you're forced to listen. When you're sitting with them, you're hearing their story. And when you're sitting with somebody, in order to listen, you have to ask questions. You have to draw out of them what God's doing. And so where do we enter into people's pain and their suffering? And here's what I want us to focus on as a community. I want us to ask, Jesus looked at blind Bartimaeus and he said, what do you want me to do for you? What if as a community we began to ask our cities, whether it's Fullerton, Anaheim, La Habra, Buena Park, Placentia, Brea, all of our surrounding communities that we serve, what if we began to ask our friends, our neighbors, maybe politicians, and ask them, what if we began to ask them, what could we do for the city? What do you want me to do? What do you want us to do as a community? What are your dreams? I mean, imagine some of you know politicians. And so some of you need to ask politicians, congressmen, women in our society, in our communities, people that are running in offices, and we need to sit down with them and say, what can I do to make this city better? You know, I go to Wilshire Avenue. What could we do to make this city better? And just have the posture of sitting. Hey, as a Christian, sometimes we can come across as know-it-alls, but just saying, you know what? I want to learn. I believe there's a Jesus that sits down and not saying that, hey, I've got all the answers, but I want to hear, what could we do to make this city a better place? And if you're struggling, well, Rob, I'm not an interviewer. I don't have good questions. Write this question down. If you're with a city official or you're with somebody, and even, I mean, principals, teachers, impactful people, whether in entertainment or other areas in our city that have influence, sit down with them. Ask them, what's going on in the community? What are the hurts? What are the needs? What are your dreams for this community? Ask them this question. If you can imagine in 5 years from now, your sphere of influence or the area you're in charge of would be highly successful, what would it look like and what would it take to get there? Ask them that. Often people have studied the art of questions say this is higher level thinking. And I find it, this isn't science or this isn't biblical, but this is just my own thought. What they notice, this part's true, but my interpretation of it, I just, this is what I think. What the scientists say is when you ask higher level thinking, people often go, ah, and test me on this. When you ask this type of question, people go, ah, oh, that's a good question, and they look up. Why I think they look up, this is my own personal opinion, I think we look above. I think we look for higher reasoning. I don't know the answer here, and so I look up. Maybe that's just my personal thought, but you'll see it. Test it. Ask people these questions. What would success look like? What are the steps that we need to do to get there? That might begin to give you an idea of where you could begin to join in, how God's already moving. Pastor Brian led us in a lot of the ministries that we're doing right now. And then Pastor Mark said, how do we walk alongside of people and hear them and understand? But there's some ministries that we're doing. Maybe God's working in your heart right now, and they're not the things we're already doing. God has given you gifts. God has given you abilities to love other people. And you, God wants to call you in to enter in and invite you in to be a part of his hope, his healing, and restoration for the city. And it might not be what we already have, but maybe he's stirring something in your heart, and that begins, you will begin to see that, your eyes will be open, your ears will be open, when you begin to hear about more needs in our community. Do you know what's so interesting? We walk by time and time again in our city, yet there's so many needs, and we have a blind eye, and we turn a deaf ear to them, don't we? Peter Singer, he's a Princeton philosopher, kind of a world-known philosopher, and he commented, he did this talk, and he was talking about how, I don't know if you guys remember this story, several years back, there was a child in China that was either ran over by a truck or was crippled and left for dead. And so they had this videotape, this whole video went viral around the world. This child's laying, I mean, just a little kid, 4, 5 years old, and this child's laying there, and just kind of laying there for dead, bleeding, and you see people walking by, and just the horror of it. And then one man stops, he bends down, and rushes this little child to the hospital. The kid, sadly, did not make it. And so this video went viral. How could the, you know, how inhumane, what a terrible event. And it's true, just a tragic event. Yet Peter Singer, he comments on it. He says, it's tragic. Yet UNICEF reports that every year, 11 out of 11 million deaths, there are 11 million children that die. 70% of those deaths are preventable. That's over 7 million children every year die by preventable things. Diarrhea, just foodborne illnesses, other things that come that we could prevent with just common sanitation. Or providing mosquito nets to keep from getting malaria and other diseases. Simple things. And so what Peter Singer, he questions, he says, just because we don't see the child on the ground, aren't we doing the same inhumane acts? Just because we turn a deaf ear to them, we're still responsible. And I think he's right. I don't agree with Peter Singer on everything, but I think he's right in this instance. Just because in our own city, we might not hear every need, we might not see every need, but man, we might be responsible for things. Now here's what I'm hoping. As you begin to hear this message and this message, this might feel like, and this is what I do when I hear these messages. I'm like, man, I want to be a part of change. I'll hear that. I'll apply that. Maybe I'll start to ask people in my community. And then all of a sudden, we start to get a lot of needs. And I hear about these. And what do? I get overwhelmed. And so when I'm overwhelmed, I try to, we do two things. Either we say, well, no, God doesn't really call us to do that. Or how can I make a difference? And then we don't do anything at all. We try to make the problem go away. Well, it's not that bad. Or I'm not going to give up my own comfort, my own safety. Yet what God calls us to do, we can't do it alone. We've been saying here at Wilshire for some time that we are what? Better together. It's on the back of your bulletin there. Better together. We can't accomplish this. We can't have change, transformation happen in our city just by one individual. God will begin to put something on your heart as you ask people in the community and you say, how can I help you? What are your dreams? What are your aspirations? How can I walk alongside of you and see transformation happen in this city? That happens when we go out individually and then come back collectively and say, here's what I'm dreaming. Here's what I'm thinking. We can't accomplish everything here. I don't want to be unrealistic about that. We can't do everything. Yet we can say, how can we have the most impact for the amount of people we have and in our city? Wilshire is known in our community. I mean, long before I got here, I can't take any credit for this, that Wilshire is known as a loving community, as a generous community that has sacrificed time, that has sacrificed money to see others. And what we're talking about, the reason we ask questions, because what we want to see is transformation. When we ask questions, we don't just simply want to keep, we don't want to empower people to keep failing. We want to empower people to set them free. I encourage you, if you want to learn more about this, there's a great book that many of you have read years before I got here, and I love this book, When Helping Hurts. I highly recommend this book, because sometimes we can help and try and help people. As followers of Jesus, we get inspired and we want to do good things, and what we end up doing is empower people, and they end up just kind of in their rut, and we are enabling them to stay in bad situations. What we want to do is empower people to get out of poverty. We want to empower people to find jobs for themselves. We want to empower people to be able to go fishing for themselves, if you will. That's what we want to, we have to look at, and we need to understand, when does actually helping hurt? And so that's why we ask questions. Now here's the thing. When you ask questions, don't jump right away and say, oh, I'll take care of that. Because I'll get to it in just a moment, but I want us, think about this. Children, some of you have children. Children often ask for what? Candy, right? And as adults, we do the same thing. It's not candy, but we're saying, oh, I want this, I want this. And it might not be the best thing for us. A kid, my child asks me for candy all the time, but I don't always give it to them because it might not be the best thing. But there's plenty of times I love to give them good sweets. I've got my own sweet tooth, and it's fun to do that, right? But in moderation and times, and so we need wisdom in this. Here's two other postures I want us to look at. These are somewhat shorter. Posture of empathy, and then I want, well, let's look at the posture of empathy. And the other one I want to attach is humility. Humility and empathy. Think about how when you approach people, and if you're not good at questions, we'll have it up on our app. We'll have different questions you can interview. We've got sheets and different things. But I want you to think about this. So, for example, I was driving this morning. One of my things I love to do, I have to drive past the Fullerton Loop often. Do you guys know the trail that runs around? And often there's spots where the loop crosses the road. And sometimes, I mean, you see people like, there's people about to run in the street and the car comes flying by, you know, and I see people, hey, you know, like flipping them off. And it's sometimes a crazy scene, but it's always, I find it so fun when I slow down. I'm always just kind of watching like anybody close and let them go. And it's fun just to see the smile on their face. So this morning I'm letting people go and there's quite a few people running on the trail Sunday morning. And I'm kind of like, all right, got to get going, you know. And then there's kind of a gap. And then this couple runs out and they just kind of dart in front. And I was kind of like, oh, that was my window to go. And one of them just kind of jumps out and says like, thanks, you know, like, thanks for waiting, kind of forcefully. And I'm like, you know, like, sure, my patience only lasts so long. You know, here as a Christian, I should be like, yeah, come on, come on. Yet I only had such a small window of grace. But here's what I noticed. Posture was so different because when that person stepped out and just said, hey, thanks, I'm stepping out, I was kind of like, ugh. But then the other person they were jogging with, as they were going, kind of paused and said, hey, thanks for stopping. And I noticed, I was just like, now here, I shouldn't do that for the thank you, but man, I'm human. And it felt good. It felt good for someone to say, thanks. But notice the two different postures. Thanks, you owe it to me. I'm stepping out. And hey, thanks. Appreciate you stopping. Our posture is so important. As you get in front of people, I encourage you to listen to them. Look them in the eyes. We've been talking about here at Wilshire for quite some time. You will never meet another person. You will never lock eyes with another person that there is not an all-out search for in the kingdom of God. You will never lock eyes with another person who God is not absolutely crazy about. God loves this individual. And you know, being on vacation and being in nice places and seeing beautiful places, they're great. But one of the beautiful things, I love coming back to the city. Because the city is full of God's people. Yes, we have traffic. But think about in each one of those cars is a person. A person that God is crazy about. I hate traffic, but man, there's people inside of those cars that God loves. Jesus loved the city. Jesus often went away to the wilderness, but he would come back and he would get re-energized. And why? Because Jesus loved people. He loves people and he cares for his people because we can see beautiful creation. Creation is God's beautiful sunsets. That's God's creation. But people are God's creation too. And where we're different is we bear the image of God. And God says, you have a part of me. And so I'm crazy about you. You are my children. And so God loves them. And how our posture, how we show people God's love, it matters. And it often involves just looking them in the eyes and listening and hearing their story. Here's a few things you can write in humility and listening is ask the simple question, what was that like for you? Write that one down. What was that like for you? If you're asking about somebody's pain and their suffering, because what we can often do is assume that, oh, I know. Have you been in conversations with someone like that? That the kind of the one-upper, like, oh, you think your problem's bad? Well, let me tell you about this. And it's like, thanks. I just poured out my heart. And now, you know, we can do that to people. We can just say, well, your problem's nothing. I've got this. Sit. Listen. What was that like for you. I want to hear your story. What have you been going through? And maybe if you're writing things down, remember what they say. If you don't have a good memory, write it down. And do this. Don't treat them like a scientific experiment. You know, back to the posture, if you're telling somebody to tell you what their dreams are in the city, what they want, don't just go, come on, like, get to it, next one. Ask them permission. Can I write some of these things down? And when they pause, pick up the pen and listen to them. Treat people like human beings. In fact, treat them like they are image bearers of God. Treat them like there's an all-out search for it in the kingdom of God. Because when we treat people, when we have a posture of empathy and humility, Jesus, the God of the universe, came down to this world. He did not come reigning and powerful, but he came riding in on a donkey. He comes in a posture of humility, and he's sitting down with these sinners. He's sitting with them, and he's asking them questions. How can I help you? How can I love you? And he leads them. He leads them gently and he leads them strongly with power and kindness. And that's how Jesus goes and approaches it. And he invites us to be a part of it. The last posture, as we begin to wrap this up, we can have all of these, but if we don't have this last posture, they all mean nothing. And this last posture is kneeling. Kneeling. Because we have to go to God to ask him for help. Because we're going to hear stories. We're going to have more problems in this city than we know how to solve. But we have to go to God for wisdom. We have to come together and say, not just you individually, but we need to come together and pray. And you can pray, we pray in our own homes, but then share with each other, what is God putting on your heart? How is God stirring in your life? And then you begin to share and we can dream. And some of you, I want to encourage you, some of you might have a passion for ministry that's not here. Sometimes, how do you know if God is in that? What you can see, are other people excited about it? Will other people come around? And maybe if others aren't excited, maybe it just needs to be on hold for a little bit. Don't get frustrated and just keep that, but maybe God's moving in a different way. And so maybe you need to listen to how God's moving in our community and where we come together and say, hey, this person has this goal, and I have this goal, and then they're coming together. And let me say this. It's not all politicians, principals. You can, in your own community. I mean, who has got, what is your sphere of influence? Is it business? Are you talking with other business women, other businessmen? What are their struggles? How are their businesses suffering? Is it parents? I mean, often talking with parents, man, I just hear the struggle. I barely have time. I'm just chasing my kids, cleaning up, cooking. Man, those sound like some needs. I'm just running around. I don't have time for other friends. What if you could come together and bring other parents together to help each other out? I mean, what is your sphere of influence? Or where is God calling you maybe to sit down with some people that you might not sit down with? And not in a posture of, oh, I'm greater than you. I'm coming in as the Christian. I know it all. No. Hey, I want to hear what God's doing in your life. Or I want, if they don't know God, I want to hear what your dreams are. I want to hear, what are your aspirations? What do you desire? Where do you need help? And what if we began to enter in, we went to God, and God says, you know what God says? You don't have because you what? You don't ask. What if we went kneeling to God and began to ask him on behalf of our city? If we asked him on behalf of our cities and surrounding cities, what if we asked God to bring down his love, to show him, to empower us to bring love? Next week, we're going to look at how we do some of this. But how is our posture? Are we, why? Or are we, I want to hear. I want to listen. Malcolm Forbes has this quote, if we could pull it up. Somewhere. There it is. The art of conversation lies in listening. We often, Covey has a quote, if we can pull it up as well. Covey often says that we are often trying, most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. Malcolm Forbes, pretty successful guy. What if we, the art in a conversation is to listen? What if we began to become great listeners in our community? Quick to listen, as James writes. What if we're a need was happen would happen in our city and we were quick to listen? We were quick to respond because we've been listening to God and we know how to respond as a community. What would this city look like if we were quick to listen and to hear the needs and would not turn a deaf ear? Imagine the things that could happen. Imagine how people can know, and we might not even have all the answers, but people could know that there's a God that loves them. And we can walk through, let me say this in closing. When years back, when my mom was killed in a car accident, and this was true for my whole family, that it shocked us. And there was so much pain, and we just it came out of the blue. And nobody plans for tragedy. But there was people that entered into our lives, and this was true for me and other family members. They said, "Rob, I don't know all the answers." Christian men, people that I loved, Christian women that spoke truth in my life, they said, "I don't have all the answers here. I don't know why this happened, but I'm here, and I love you." Me and my family, we both said, you know what? Some of the most meaningful times were the ones that the people that just sat with us. They didn't have all the answers, but they just wanted to listen. What if we were that listening ear in our community? We don't have to be the know-it-alls, but maybe we would want to know more. We'd want to know more of the pain and want to enter in with the suffering of this community because there's a God of the universe that says, "What do you want me to do for you?" We might be blind, we might be deaf, and there's a God of the universe that wants to give vision, that wants to give sight, that wants to open up our ears so that we could hear. He wants to bring this healing and he does it through us. Would you listen? Would you listen to God? Would you see how he's moving? And maybe sit down with a few people. That's the assignment this week. Just pick one person. Would you listen to them? Would you hear their story? And begin praying how you might respond. Let's pray. Father, that same invitation is here for us. You came to blind Bartimaeus, Lord. The truth of the scripture is that I am blind. Lord, I'm blind to the needs in this city. Lord, we walk by often all of the pain and suffering and different problems in our city, and we just play like everything's okay. God, give me a vision. Give us a vision. Give us ears to hear what's going on. Lord, give us feet to walk, to respond. Give us wisdom in how we should hear and enter into people's suffering and pain. Lord, that same invitation that you gave Bartimaeus is here for us. What do you want me to do for you? God, maybe some of us who don't know you, maybe we want to see you in a new light. Maybe this morning we want to see you for the first time. And so, God, we ask, I want to see you. You can pray that prayer right now. God, I want to see you. I want to know more about you. God, we thank you that your promise is that you, just as you healed Bartimaeus, you will call us to rise, that you will call us to see you and to experience your love. May we enter into that. And may we share that love with your city. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.